Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Celtics Talk Podcast. Kyle Draper here in our Burlington office, and my guy A. Sherrod Blakely is on location in Cleveland, where the Cleveland Cavaliers wrapped up their Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, and Ante Zizic press conference. Sherrod, what's going on, man?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good, dude. Sounds like I haven't talked to you in forever, man. You know, like, how you been? I ain't seen you in a long time. But you got the word. Head out to Cleveland for this big press conference. We're going to talk about that. I know you had a chance to go one-on-one with Isaiah Thomas. I also talked to Brad Stevens yesterday, Doc Rivers as well. So we got a lot to get to, Sherrod, here on this Celtics Talk podcast. So let's begin, first of all, what was the scene like out there in Cleveland? What was the vibe? You know, I felt like Isaiah and Jay, they were okay with the trade because it was to Cleveland. You know what I mean? If it was to Sacramento, they'd be even more pissed off. But I felt like, you know what? It hurts to be traded, but at least we got traded to Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it's Cleveland, the fact that LeBron James is here for at least another year, it softens the blow. But make no mistake about it, both of these guys, you know, were kind of caught off guard by this. You know, Isaiah Thomas, you know, in his Players Tribune story, you know, made that crystal clear. He reiterated that, you know, today at the presser. And Jay, you know, similar situation. He was dealing with something that's so much more important and bigger than a trade. But, you know, he was getting word that something like that was in the works as well. So this was a very, you know, difficult time for both of those guys, because they absolutely loved being in Boston and being Boston Celtics. But clearly, you know, the deal was too good in Danny Ainge's mind to pass up, and he got – both sides got what they wanted. Cleveland is a deeper team now, I believe, by this trade, and Celtics got that uber echelon superstar caliber player in Kyrie Irving, who's just 25 years old.
I tell you what, though, you talk about Isaiah Thomas – that hip injury does not sound good. I mean, they were ducking and dodging hip questions left and right. Kobe Altman says there's no surgery. You know, they're going to try and proceed without surgery. What did you take from that? Because to me, the fact that, A, the first question was to Isaiah Thomas, and Kobe jumped right in and shut that down, to me means it's a very sensitive topic out there in Cleveland.
Well, it is. I mean, Kobe, I swear, it was like watching – a verbal Barry Sanders up there, the way he was kind of bobbing and weaving, you know, cutting back and things like that. He didn't want to get into that because they know that, one, it was the reason why this thing took about 9 days longer than it should have. Two, it's a concern going forward. They don't want Isaiah to say something that might be maybe too real for folks in Cleveland to deal with. I thought it was really telling, though, that he said that they're proceeding on a non-surgical plan right now, and that their focus is on getting Isaiah on the floor this season, and that they don't have a definitive timeline. But I think it's pretty clear that, one, he's not going to be ready to go at the start of the season. And I think if they can get him back, and I listened to, you know, Tyronn Lue when he was asked about not Isaiah specifically, but just the team, he talked about how, you know, they're all about being rested and ready to roll for the playoffs. And to me, that's why they're not all that concerned about Isaiah, and from the standpoint of how it's going to affect them as far as achieving their ultimate goal, which is to be back into the NBA Finals. The year that they won it, you know, Kyrie Irving missed a lot of games early on that season. So it's not like this team hasn't found a way to put it together and find ways to win without a key player in the mix. So I'm not crazy about the idea that Isaiah's not going to be ready to roll, and the fact that they're being real kind of, you know, coy about exactly when he's going to be able to get back on the floor and what kind of timetable we're looking at. But the big picture is this: it's all about what this team does in the playoffs, and there seems to be pretty good sense that Isaiah's going to be back in well enough time for them to make a postseason run, which, again, that is what their focus is on.
Yeah, and, you know, as I was sitting here thinking about it and looking at that Cleveland roster, to win a championship, I think they're going to need Isaiah Thomas. But Derrick Rose isn't a slouch, Sherrod. I mean, the guy actually had a pretty good season in New York. And then you look at Calderon as a backup. And so while Cleveland wants to be right for the playoffs, we know that I don't think we could just ignore them during the regular season, because they still got some talent.
They do, and that talent is really spread out, which is something we have not been able to say about this team in past years. You know, you're looking at, as the players you mentioned, you know, Calderon and Derrick Rose. Rose averaged, I think, about 10 points in the paint last year. So he's coming off really one of his best seasons, you know, since he left, since he was an MVP in Chicago. And guys that we haven't talked about, Jeff Green.
Your boy.
Don't go there. Don't go there. Jeff Green, 13.5 points per game throughout his career. That's a solid guy coming off the bench who can contribute. As we talked about Derrick Rose, you got, you know, Jay Crowder is in that mix now, where they can play him really at a multitude of positions, not to mention guys like Channing Frye are back. And we're not even talking about Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson. They got players. I mean, they got a lot of players, and they're still the favorite to come out of the East when all is said and done. But obviously, not having a guy like Isaiah Thomas, it's going to set them back a little bit. It'll be interesting to see how quickly he can kind of really develop chemistry with the guys on the floor. Would not be surprised if early on, when he does come back, that you start seeing them play more combinations that have Jay Crowder on the floor with him, a guy that he's very familiar with.
Yeah, and I fully expect also, when Isaiah does come back, LeBron to make it a point to get Isaiah going, to get him comfortable, to get him his touches. I look for that as well. You brought up Jay Crowder, and obviously, you know, we haven't heard from him since the trade. He lost his mother, found out that he was traded the same day she died. So, I thought that was, you know, in terms of emotion, when he said that, man, it was like you could tell, you know, he was shook up about that and how it all went down.
Yeah, I mean, I had a chance to just, you know, talk to him after. That was a tough time for him. I mean, I think it kind of goes without saying, but the way he handled himself, showing the ability to really separate the two, it says a lot about his character, a lot about his just mental toughness. And that's one of the things that when Kobe Altman was talking about Jay Crowder, he really emphasized just that toughness, that versatility. As a player, but also as a person. You know, Jay Crowder, he's just one of, when you look at teams that compete for championships at the highest levels, and you look at guys coming off their bench, you're going to find a Jay Crowder in the bunch. A guy that is really about winning plays. Is not the sexiest player in terms of what he can do on the floor, but when you look at his impact and what it means to winning games, there really aren't a lot of guys that you can just plug in there the way that you can plug Jay Crowder into pretty much any situation you need.
Yeah, and not only that, you know, he's a guy that can give LeBron James a break guarding, you know, whether it's Durant or Draymond or whoever. You know, Jay Crowder can give LeBron that kind of break. I think Jeff Green, you know, in small spurts can do that as well. And, Sherrod, we know Isaiah Thomas had that touching letter on the Players Tribune that posted on Wednesday. A lot of people touched emotionally by that. What did you think about the letter? I mean, throughout all this, you know, as pissed as I know Isaiah was, it was a classy move to do what he did.
You know what? It really, I think Isaiah has been, throughout his time in Boston, he's been a first-class act. Everything about this guy is what you want. When you think about Boston, you think about how quickly these fans embraced him and he embraced them without winning a championship. Remember, in Boston, it's all about winning championships. Guys who do that, they are absolutely idolized. But Isaiah Thomas was able to kind of circumvent that. And, you know, he became a champion of the people. They absolutely love everything about Isaiah Thomas. He represented so many of the positive things that Bostonians, you know, take pride in, hardworking, do your job and just, you know, and compete and succeed at a high level. And when you see somebody traded who brings all those attributes to the table, it hurts. And, you know, I asked Isaiah about, you know, just, you know, being a part of what this new Celtics core is about. You either help recruit them or your play got you here and got them in there. And he said it's all good. He understands it's a business, but that doesn't take away the fact that I don't think any of us in his shoes would feel any differently. But the thing that scares me, and certainly I think it scares Brad Stevens a little bit, is when this guy gets healthy and he's looking across the court and he sees that Celtic green, he's coming at him. I mean, he's going to be an absolute animal. You might as well chalk him down for 40 points or 40 shots when they play, because he's going to look to make that type of impact from the jump. And LeBron, as we've talked about, he's going to recognize that and put Isaiah in position to be very effective against his former team.
Yeah, and I wish he was going to be playing October 17th. We're going to have to wait till that next meeting or maybe even the postseason. I know you had a chance to go one-on-one with Isaiah Thomas after the press conference. Before we jump into that, what are we about to hear? What kind of things stood out to you?
Well, you know, Isaiah, he sheds a little bit of light on just how he sees his hip injury affecting free agency. He talks a little bit about, you know, just the relationship he has with Brad Stevens. And as in your interview with Brad, you know, he gets into how, you know, he views Isaiah and things of that nature. And Isaiah was responding to that. And really just, you know, he makes it clear that, one, he still has a lot of love for Boston, but he remains confident that at the end of the day, he's still going to be a great player, whether LeBron James is his teammate, enemy, doesn't matter. He's confident in his game. And so that was really refreshing to hear. And you know, Isaiah, you've talked to him a million times as well. You love talking to Isaiah. You know, you literally have no idea what's about to come out of his mouth, but you know it's going to be something good.
All right, let's dive into these interviews. We got an interview with Isaiah Thomas. We'll hear from Brad Stevens as well and Doc Rivers. But first, here's Sherrod's interview with Isaiah Thomas.
Here with the newest Cleveland Cavalier. Still feels weird saying that. It's going to take a little while for me to get used to that. Yeah. How has this adjustment been for you? Just a whirlwind of emotions I'd imagine you've been feeling.
It was tough at first. I'm fine now, though. Like, getting that Player Tribune article out and being able to really speak on it and tell the world how I feel and what I exactly went through, it makes me feel a lot better. And then just have my family comfortable right now, us looking for a home and being out here is making things a lot easier. But like I said earlier, I mean, it was tough. That was a tough hit, but we're always going to bounce back and make things even better.
And the one thing that we know about you in Boston is you've always strived for greatness. You've always felt that when you talk about elite players, your name should be mentioned.
Yeah.
Playing with LeBron James, how challenging is that going to be that great player, knowing that you're playing with arguably the greatest player of this generation?
I think it's going to be easy because he's an unselfish superstar. He's a guy that makes the right play 99% of the time, and he's somebody that's going to allow me to show the world different things that I didn't show him in Boston. And I think he's going to make the game easier for me. The spacing is going to be great, and just being able to be on a team with a guy of that caliber is only going to make things easier for not just myself but for this team and to show the world what I'm capable of on a bigger, even bigger stage now that playing with him.
And I know for those of us who followed your career, we've seen the growth from, you know, running to get water at Sacramento for guys and to where, you know, you're one of the elite players. And you've been, I know, looking so forward to this season, this offseason, where you can cash in on all that hard work.
Yeah.
How difficult has that been for you to deal with the fact that questions are coming up, different kind of questions about you that up to this point haven't been there as far as the hip and things like that? And how do you think that's going to affect you in that Brinks truck?
It's been a little difficult, but at the same time, I'm here to control what I can control. I can't do anything other than that, and what I've done in the court is solidified. Like, the world knows what I bring to the table. So when that time comes, when free agency comes, then I'm going to get what I deserve. I'm going to get what I earn, and that's just what it is, and we're going to go from there. But until then, I'm going to do whatever I can to get back on the court healthy, and then hopefully be in the finals next year and win a championship.
You love to see the Celtics there, wouldn't you?
What, playing against them?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. I mean, it's only right. It's only right for us to be competing in that Eastern Conference Finals and to go on from there. But you never know what's going to happen. But at the same time, I'm excited about the opportunity. I'm excited to be able to play with the Cleveland Cavaliers and to compete for a championship.
What was that week like for you when the trade got announced and all of a sudden there's uncertainty, like, is it going to happen? Is it going to get called off? What's wrong with Isaiah? Like, what, just kind of going through?
Man, it was just a lot of he say, she say. Mm-hmm. Like, I was good. I was at home chilling, being with my kids, playing around. And that's all I did. I didn't worry about the media and what they were saying because they're not in the rooms that we're in. They're not talking to the people that we're talking to. So all the rumors and the sources and all that, that didn't bug me at all. I would just continue to be me and continue to t- take each day as it came, and I was waiting for things to get cleared, and they did.
You obviously mentioned Tom Brady reaching out to you. Are there other people? I mean, even throughout last season, you talk about when Kobe would reach out and talk to you, watching film with him. Like during the last couple of weeks, is there anything that stuck with you in particular?
Everybody. Kobe, Allen Iverson, you name it, Tom. Everybody that's been in my circle reached out because they know what it was, and they know what I gave to that city. But at the same time, they know it's a business. So they were giving me advice, Isaiah Thomas, everybody, and I took their advice and take this opportunity and run with it. There's no hard, like I said, there's no hard feelings. It's the business of the game, and I understand that even more now. And now I got that in the back of my head, and I'm going to just take this opportunity and run with it.
How do you not like, take it personal? Like I feel like that would be a difficult.
It is what it is at this point. I can't control what they did. What I can control is how I made them people feel, how I made the city of Boston feel, and that feeling is mutual. So all the love I've been getting the last two or three weeks from that community and that city has been amazing, and that's what makes me continue to go, because I inspired that whole state, the Boston Celtics community, the fans. I inspired everybody, and they inspired me. So that relationship's always going to be there. I'm always going to have love for the city of Boston.
Have you had a chance to talk to Brad? Because I know that just the other day he did an interview with us, and he talked about just Isaiah's always going to be special to me for what he did for me, for this franchise, for this city. Have you had a chance to communicate with him since the trade?
I have. I mean, that's a guy that's been in my corner since day one. That's a guy that allowed me to be great and loved me for who I was, and didn't, when I first got there, he didn't say, okay, you're a spark plug off the bench. He's like, you're going to help this team win. And we talked actually yesterday, and he reached out, and he's a special person in my life, and I think that feeling is mutual, and he stated that not just to myself but to the world. And like I said, those people who I was with every day, each and every day, whether it be the coaching staff, the PR team, the community relations team, they know what I meant to that city, they know what I meant to that team, and they know how I feel about them, so that's what's most important.
You guys talked all the time last year, 2 years, but we're like a college team. You guys are a very close group. What do you think, I guess, moving forward? Guys like Jalen, guys like Terry, they kind of looked up to you, and Marcus was talking about it last night in Boston, kind of where they go from here, what their futures are like, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and those is my guys forever. So whatever, if they need help, if they need anything, I'm always here for that. And I'm a text or phone call away, and they know that. Like, our relationship is bigger than basketball. And I'm always going to look out for those guys because we've been through it together. And I'm always going to wish them luck and wish them well. But when we play them, I don't know them guys when we step on the floor. And then after, we can go eat together or something. Mm-hmm. But that's just how it's always been and how it's always going to be.
That was Sherrod right there with Isaiah Thomas, the newest member of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Still hard to say, hard to believe that this trade has gone down. But I did have a chance to talk to Brad Stevens about the trade, his message for IT, and also welcoming in Kyrie Irving and 11 new players into the fold. Here's my interview with Brad. You're about to enter your fifth season. How has the experience been? I know maybe you don't have a preconceived notion of how things will be, but as an NBA coach, how do you think it's gone for you?
You know, I haven't really looked at it as anything more than just trying to go through this journey day by day and figure out a way for me to help our team be the best that it can be. Obviously, I think the biggest difference between college is the transient nature of the league, which we've seen in its greatest extent probably even this summer for us, but also, you know, I haven't gotten too far out of that day-to-day look, and the four seasons have flown by. To think that we moved in over 4 years ago now is pretty incredible.
When you look at your roster right now, four returning players, how do you view that? When you see all the changes you guys have made, and then you look at, man, we only got four guys. I guess I would imagine training camp is even more important.
I think every day is going to be really important, but I don't think it's going to end at training camp. I don't think it's going to end in the first month, 2 months, 3 months. I think we'll figure ourselves out over the course of time, and hopefully sooner rather than later, obviously, because we play half of our season by January 3rd. So it's going to be really important that we're on the same page. It's going to be really important that you know, we learn each other quickly so that we can bring each other's strengths out.
I know Isaiah Thomas penned something for the Players Tribune. Did you get a chance to read that?
I did.
What was
your
thoughts on it?
You know, I would probably just like any 9-year-old fan or 11-year-old in my house reading it, or any fan of basketball. You know, what Isaiah did was special. Isaiah's impact is special. I love Isaiah, and I'm glad that he'll always have that here. You know, he'll always have impacted Boston in that way. And obviously that's the really hard part about this from a coach's or player's perspective is within any change, there's an emotional cost that's attached. And that's a pretty significant emotional cost. And I thought that he captured that really well. And, you know, I look forward to seeing him, not on the court, not against him, because he is he's a dynamite player. But I'm happy to have had a chance to work with him.
What are those conversations like, if you have spoken to him since the trade? What's that like? You know, I can imagine it's emotional. I mean, especially the kind of player he and everything he went through here in Boston.
Yeah, and I mean, I so valued our relationship. And, you know, what you value as a coach is not what happens on the floor while the game is going on. It's the meetings that are one-on-one. Where a person is trying to expand their game or trying to read something different that the defense is throwing at them. It's the opportunities to be together on the plane, opportunities to spend time together in social settings. And I think that ultimately those all take precedent over the time on the court. And that's why it's so hard from the coaching or playing standpoint. And that's the, you know, I said this the first day. I mean, the difference between this and college is in college, you know when guys are coming and going for the most part, unless they're really, really good. That's usually the only way that changes. And so that's difficult, but, you know, I thought that a piece was great. And, you know, Isaiah will always be special to me.
What challenges, I guess, are you presented with not only, you know, 10 new guys, 11 new guys, but also so late in the offseason, you know, making such a big change to the roster?
Well, they say that every big change, right, presents a larger learning curve. We're just going to have to expedite it as much as we can. So at the end of the day, these are big changes. But we have guys that have played basketball before. Basketball is not rocket science, as much as we try to make it out to be. I think we have to simplify what we do on both ends of the floor. We have to learn each other. We have to play unselfish, play together, and then let everything else fall into place. We're going to have some real downs early. We're going to have some real ups early. We're just going to have to manage them like we always do. It's an 82-game season, and hopefully we're playing beyond that.
You mentioned unselfish. There's a narrative out there that Kyrie Irving likes to dribble the ball a lot. Is that a fair, you know, assessment of him and criticism of him, do you think?
I don't know that anybody would criticize him for it, the way that he makes plays. You know, I think Kyrie really knows how to play. I think Kyrie can pass off pick and rolls. He can score off pick and rolls. He draws a lot of attention. He draws a lot of blitzing. He draws a lot of attention at the rim. He's a fabulous scorer, and I think he could really flourish in what we're doing and what we need to do to bring out the best in him. But when you look at Kyrie as a player, there's so many things that he can do and do well. At the end of the day, it's about helping find him those simple spots and letting him go.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you, you know, we've seen coaches in the past, you know, it's their system. This is how, you know, and then they get players to fit their system. I feel like you sort of adapt your system to the talent as well. Was that an accurate assessment, would you say?
I think you have to, but I don't think that's, you know, I think almost every coach is like that. Maybe that's just the narrative that people put on coaches. but I think that ultimately we all have to try to figure out what our guys do best. And that's just not Kyrie. That's just not Gordon. That's just not Al. That's everybody else too. Where's their best spots? Where, you know, if they go better driving a direction, are we able to take advantage of that? If they shoot it better from certain spots of the court, are we able to take advantage of that? We just have to know the whole team in that regard. And there's a learning curve to that. There's also a lot of video statistics and stuff that we have our hands on right now that'll help us expedite that.
Coach, we're less than 3 weeks away from Media Day. Are you ready for the season to begin? Are you ready to get back at it, or do you want
I'm just
a
ready
more
for media
weeks?
Day to be over. That's
you don't enjoy this right
that's
here.
That's the toughest, longest day of the year.
It is.
Every other day, right? Every other day is just a job, and it's fun.
Right. Coach, thanks so much.
All right, thanks.
That's Celtics head coach Brad Stevens right there. That was done on Wednesday. I also talked to Doc Rivers right after Brad. And Doc and I talked about a number of things. Him coming back to Boston, the love he still receives. Also, what's the deal with Chris Paul? Why is Chris Paul now with the Houston Rockets? And also, Doc's role with the Clippers, no longer handling player personnel matters, more focusing now on the bench, coaching this new-look team. Here's my interview with Doc Rivers. Doc, let's talk basketball. Celtics made a lot of changes. Just your thoughts on everything that's happened this offseason for your former team.
They made a lot of good changes. You know, obviously, when you lose Avery and you lose Crowder, you lose a big defensive presence on your team and some of your identity. But when you replace them with Kyrie Irving and you replace them with Gordon Hayward, I mean, come on, that's as good. You know, Gordon has been a guy that, you know, he knocked us out in the playoffs this year. I've had a chance to watch him. There's jokingly in Utah, they said that I had a man crush on Gordon. Because I just love him as a player. I love what he stands for. And, you know, I've known Kyrie for a long time. He went to Duke. My son went to Duke. So I've known that for a while as well. And that's two special players to bring into your team.
When the narrative of, regarding Kyrie is he's a ball-dominant guard, tends to dribble too much. Is that fair?
No, that's not true either. Right. He's a scoring guard, you know. LeBron had the ball more than Kyrie. So Kyrie has not been that dominant of the ball. I'll tell you what he is, though. He's a closer. And, you know, if I've learned anything in my coaching life, to be a great team, to have a great company even, at the end of the sales pitch, you want to bring in the closer to close the deal. And if you don't have a closer, it's hard to win at the end of games. And when you have one, you're a better team. You know, I thought when I was here in Boston, I was lucky to have Paul and Ray and then Kevin even. In L.A., we haven't had great. You know, Chris is kind of a closer. Blake's working to be a closer, you know. But having closers matter. And Kyrie may be one of the top three or four closers in the league.
When you look at the Celtics changes and just this rebuild, I'm shocked that they are where they are. You know, yeah. It was just 4 years ago, Doc, you know, KG, Pierce, yourself. How remarkable do you think this transition?
I think it's been as good of a rebuild that I've ever seen. I think, you know, Danny saw it early, though. You know, most teams way too late. They hold on to their guys too long, and they get nothing for them, or they retire. I thought Danny was smart enough and had enough courage to see that and say, listen, this is the end of this run. As hard as that is to say that, it was. And let's move on. And Danny did that. Let's just be honest. The Brooklyn thing just set the whole thing up. But that wasn't just it. They did a lot of other things well as well. So it wasn't just the Brooklyn thing.
Right. And you guys had a very busy offseason as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got some core guys back, but then you lose a guy like Chris Paul.
Yeah.
What kind of adjustment is that going to be for you
guys? It's a big adjustment because he was a ball-dominant guard. And so, you know, it makes you, forces you to change. Sometimes change is not all bad. I will say that. And but it forces you to want to play a different way, a more ball movement way, which is how I've coached anyway. So for me, the change will be easy. It'll be interesting for the players. But we have 9 new players. So it's not like anybody other than the 4 or 5 that are returning should be used to anything. And really, when you look at our guys that are returning, it's not many. It's DJ and Blake and Austin, and that's it. You know, for the most part, everybody else is new.
You know, this is one of the guys I'm going to miss for you guys, Jamal Crawford. Crawford, Doc. How tough was it? You know,
that was a tough one for me. Jamal and JJ, really. You know, Chris, I knew I had a sense that he may leave. Right. But those two guys, just the spirit of the way they attack the game and play and prepare for the game. You know, Jamal is going on 70 years old. But he plays like he's a 21-year-old, and he plays basketball every day. He just likes basketball, and it's very similar to the people who'll be on the court today. You know, they play it because they love it. Jamal plays basketball because he just loves playing basketball.
You had a role change. Was that tough for you, Doc, at all?
No, it's the same role, really. Okay. It's just a different, you know, my title didn't change, and I'm really doing the same thing, but I needed more people. Trying to do one thing and you being the only guy. And This is I brought Lawrence in a year ago. You know, no one knew it, you know, but so it really was no change. When I brought Lawrence in, it was for Lawrence to do what he's doing. And we just had never given him a title. What's changed, though, is we've been allowed this summer to hire more people. And that's been big for us. That's been huge for me. And so at the end of the day, I think it'll be good for all of us.
What's Jerry West?
He's just a consultant, okay. But he's more the owner's consultant. We don't do day-to-day stuff with Jerry at all. Yeah.
All right. In terms of this upcoming season, you see the West. Like, everybody's leaving the East going West. Paul George, Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. I wish they
would
go East.
You got to come back East.
Yeah, I want them to go East, right. Man. My gosh, the West is hard. But let's just be honest. The rest is only hard because of one team. You know, every other team's good. You know, we're good. You know, Houston's good. Oklahoma's good. But Golden State's great. And so that's what makes the West so hard. Because no matter how good you are, you still have to get past the great. And so that's what makes it so tough.
All right, we just heard from Isaiah Thomas, Brad Stevens, and Doc Rivers. Kyle Draper and A. Sherrod Blakely still with you here on the Celtics Talk podcast. Sherrod, basketball is right around the corner, my friend. 2+ weeks till media day. I don't feel like we've had an off season so far, to be honest with you, and I don't believe we're about to jump right back in this thing.
That's because, Drace, we have not had an off season. It's like... You know, Danny Ainge has been in hyperdrive trying to wheel and deal. I mean, we've got almost a dozen new players this year. That's insane for a team that went to the conference finals a year ago. But, you know, the focus is on looking ahead, trying to get this team a little bit better than they were a year ago. There's some positive steps in that direction, but it remains to be seen if it's enough.
Yes, we will see. We will see. One guy who's just one of the four players returning for the Celtics is one Marcus Smart. And, you know, a lot hasn't been made about Marcus this offseason, but he did say the other day he's dropped 20 pounds. What do you think about that, a slimmer Marcus Smart out there on the floor?
I got to see what that dude looks like defensively, because I like the fact that he's played with a certain amount of bulk, which has allowed him to be physical. But I think one of the things Marcus certainly, you know, in conversations I've had with him, he wanted to be a little bit quicker and while maintaining a certain level of strength and be, I think, in his mind, in better condition. I think he's in really good condition to begin with, but obviously there's room for improvement. I think we're going to see the best Marcus Smart has to offer. One, because he's the only legitimate, proven perimeter defender they have. Two, he's in a contract year.
Yep.
Three, and most important, he's in a contract year.
So. Yeah, that's that. No doubt about it. He's going to ball out, but I think they're going to need him, like you said. I mean, I thought Marcus had a big role last year. I think it's going to be an even bigger role this year. I fully expect to see Kyrie Irving out there and Marcus Smart at the two with Gordon Hayward at the three a lot this season.
Yeah, especially down the stretch when they're going to need the defense to step up. And you know, Marcus has to be out there. That's a role that he, I think, is born to play. That's a role that he's grown into. He's been at, you know, he's taken a backseat to Avery Bradley to a certain extent and then to Jay Crowder, too. When you look at what he's able to do, he's really kind of like a hybrid of those two guys. Bigger than Avery, not quite at Jay's size, but has the ability to affect and impact the game defensively as well as those guys in a lot of areas.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, Marcus is going to have a big role. And Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Earlier I'm like, there's no way Jason Tatum's going to be, you know, a rotation guy. But I think the Celtics, with their current roster makeup, they're going to have to rely on him too, Sherrod. What do you expect from the two young guys?
Well, Jaylen, I think, is ready to be, you know, I think he's going to be kind of what we saw in Otto Porter in Washington this year. And that is a guy that isn't quite an all-star, but he's trending in that direction and is giving you really, really positive play. I think he's got that kind of potential. With Tatum, I think it just remains to be seen. I love his footwork. I love things he can do from an offensive standpoint, his ability to recognize mismatches and make the most of them. But this ain't summer league, young fella. The competition level is a little bit better than what you saw, you know, back in July. And it's going to take him a minute, I think, to really be comfortable against NBA caliber talent. But when you look at his length, you look at his skill set, you look at the footwork, all the tangibles that you can point to, it's very promising for him in terms of what he can do for the Celtics sooner rather than later.
Yes, I can't wait to get the Celtics out on the floor, see how this new squad looks. Brad Stevens admitted it's going to take some time. You know, you got 11 new players, 4 returning players. So it's going to take, a month, maybe 2 months, Sherrod, for this team really to get going. So I'm looking forward to it, no doubt.
Yeah, and you know, you got to look at them the same way Cleveland looks at itself. And that is, you know, no matter what we do in you know, November, December, January, it's not going to matter. It's what you do in the playoffs. And the Celtics, as much as they know that there is a journey to get there, they understand at the end of the road how they're judged will be how they perform in the postseason.
All right, A. Sherrod Blakely on location in Cleveland. Good work out there getting that one-on-one with Isaiah Thomas. That'll do it for this edition of the Celtics Talk podcast. As always, you can check us out on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google, CSNNE.com, and all the podcasting apps. And make sure you leave a review and also rate us as well. We will see you next week on the Celtics Talk podcast. For A. Sherrod Blakely, I'm Kyle Draper. Peace.
We out!